Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. We read from the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. What is greater, to feed 5,000 men or to feed billions of men? Clearly, to feed billions is greater. But who pays any attention to that? Yet the miracle of feeding the 5,000 evoked such a strong response that Jesus had to leave the crowd to keep them from using force to make him their king. For all their lives, God had provided them with clothing, food, house, and home. They had seen God's hands in the regular cycles of the seasons. They had sowed and reaped, and they had no power to make the seed do anything at all. They didn't create the seed or the soil or bring the rain. They took it all for granted. And so do we. But there is no Mother Nature. There is God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. He governs what we call nature. The one who runs this world is the God who created us in his own image, male and female, and blessed us. It is the God who places us over this world as lords. The sun rises and sets by the will of God. If he didn't will it, it wouldn't happen. And he wills what he wills for this world for one purpose: to bless his holy Christian church. The Bible uses various pictures to talk about the relationship between Christ and the church. Jesus is the head, the church is the body. Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is his bride. In Galatians chapter 4, the church is compared to a mother. And the Apostle Paul uses an allegory to teach us about God's grace. Hagar was a maidservant of Sarah, whom she gave to Abraham because Sarah couldn't bear a child. So Hagar bore Ishmael. Well, then Hagar started acting superior to Sarah, even though she was a slave and Sarah was the mistress of the home. Well, Sarah is a picture, according to St. Paul, of the church. She appears barren, but she's fruitful. She is despised, just as the church is despised. The church doesn't ever look that significant to the world, but God gives the promise. He gave to Sarah the promise of a boy, and this boy was born miraculously. So Isaac is a picture of Jesus. Isaac was Abraham's son whom he loved. Jesus is God's only begotten and beloved son. Sarah couldn't conceive because she was barren and too old. Mary couldn't conceive because she was a virgin. Yet Sarah did bear a child, and she did so outside of the ordinary laws of nature, showing that the God who makes promises rules over the natural world and the natural course of events in this world in order to keep his promises. Mary also conceived miraculously. What was biologically impossible was made possible by God's grace and power. Abraham offered up his son, born of a miracle, as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, but the angel of the Lord stopped him from driving the knife into the boy. The angel of the Lord was none other than Christ himself before he assumed flesh and blood. This same Christ offered himself up to the Father on the altar of the cross to bear the sins of the world. The Son, the only begotten Son, born of a miracle, was sacrificed by God to appease the wrath of God and to wash away the sin of the world. But before Jesus went to the cross to suffer for us and to fulfill the scriptures, he taught the people by word and deed. Consider the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Who is this man who will take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and with them feed 5,000 men plus women and children with 12 baskets of food left over? Who else can he be but God himself? He's the one to whom we pray. The eyes of all wait upon thee, O Lord, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hands and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. This invisible God, who has always cared for the needs of his people, for food and shelter, now stands before his people clothed in the same flesh and blood with which they are clothed. He's living in the same world, eating the same food, drinking the same drink, depending on the same God, and yet he is God. What a wonderful mystery we confess. Praise to thee and adoration, blessed Jesus, Son of God, who to serve thine own creation didst partake of flesh and blood. The Creator is joined to his creation. And why this miracle? To show them that the God who provides for their daily bread is the same God who gives them his own flesh and blood for food. This is the sermon that follows this miracle in St. John's Gospel. If you read through chapter 6, you see how the crowds whom he fed went searching for him because they wanted to be fed again. But Jesus challenged their physical desires and told them that they should desire the bread of life from heaven. And then he identified himself as the bread of life. He said, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And then what follows is an amazing conversation between Jesus and his critics. Those who knew Jesus as the son of Joseph the carpenter couldn't believe that he was the Son of God. They didn't believe that he had the authority to give eternal life. Jesus offered and they refused. He claimed that his flesh and blood were real food, giving real and eternal life, but they didn't want to hear his message. They welcomed him as their bread king, but rejected him as the bread of life. They wanted to feed their bellies, but they didn't want the sacrifice of Jesus' body and blood because they didn't think they needed it. There are reasons why people don't think they need Christ's body and blood given and shed for them. They may have no sense of their own sin, and so the suffering of Jesus has no meaning to them. They may have little interest in God or God's word because they just don't see how God has any practical relevance. They wouldn't call themselves atheists, but they do what they do, following more or less what will keep them out of trouble and give them the least worries, and they don't care one bit about theological matters. And they assume if there is a God somewhere, he won't care much either. And so they don't worship him or give him thanks or seek out his word. And then they end up worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. Ignoring God leads to idolatry. But Jesus fed the 5,000 in order to make things very plain to us, to show us by this miracle that God feeds us every day. The miracle may be uncommon, but it is hardly a greater display of power and fatherly care than God shows us every day when he gives us our daily bread and all that goes along with it. Jesus fed the 5,000 in order to show us that he will never forsake or abandon his church on earth. There is a reason, I believe, why there were 12 baskets left over. 12 is the number of the church, and there will always be enough for the church. When we put God's word and sacraments first, we will always have enough daily bread. Several years ago, when I was serving in Racine, Wisconsin, I got into a conversation with a fellow who sent his children to the parochial school but hardly ever went to church. I told him that he needed what God gave in church. He told me that he had to work on Sundays. He resented people in the church that made more money than he did and thought that they looked down on him. And during the conversation, he made it very clear to me that a working man has to make an income or he can't pay his bills, and he was quite open in his opinion that going to church was a luxury he just couldn't afford. Well, that man was wrong. Going to church is not a luxury for the leisure class. It is the daily bread of the working men and women who are tired and hungry and struggling to get by. It's the place they need more than the money they earn, because when they come to hear God's word, they come to be fed with food that makes us live forever. If you come to visit a congregation of our parish, you will meet the bread of life who comes down from heaven to give his life for the life of the world. You come. Come with your financial worries and confess them as sins of unbelief, and God will absolve you. Come with your doubts about God's providential care as you wonder how you're going to pay your bills and provide for your future. Jesus will meet you. And he who fed the 5,000 and finished with more food than they had at the beginning knows our needs, and he never fails to meet them. Is it possible that we could come to God, confess our sins, hear his gospel, and then God's going to change his mind somehow and say, I'm not going to give you what you need. I will create bread and fish out of nothing, but I'm not going to help you in what you need in your life. Well, the fact is, he showed who he is. He proved himself, and he did more than feed them with bread. He fed them with the forgiveness of sins that he purchased with his own blood on the cross. The life that he gives freely, he purchased dearly with his own obedience and sacrifice. He paid the price to take your sins away, including your sin of doubt, selfishness, greed. He died for those sins so that you would live forever in joy with God. He paid what you could never pay. And he wants you to trust in his gospel that your many sins are forgiven. Now, would this same God, who did not withhold his only son, but gave him up for us all, withhold from us anything we need to keep our bodies fed and clothed and sheltered from the cold? Of course not. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast sponsored by First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We have divine service Sunday morning at First Evanger in Fertile at 8 o'clock, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 9:30, and First American Lutheran Church in Mayville at 11:30. And during this week, this is the last of the midweek Lenten services, Tuesday evening at 7 at First American in Mayville, Wednesday evening at 7 at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Thursday evening at 7 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. There's Maundy Thursday service at First American in Mayville at 7 o'clock in the evening, and a Good Friday service at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 7 in the evening. We'd love to have you as our guests at any of these services of our parish, and please tune in next Sunday, the same time, the same station, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.